David Boies and Theodore Ted Olson are two of the most high-profile attorneys in the U.S. today. I'm sure you're familiar with several of Boies' landmark cases, including the United States versus Microsoft, where he represented the Justice Department. Bill Gates said Boies was out to destroy Microsoft. The Washington Monthly called Boies a brilliant trial lawyer, a latter-day Clarence Darrow, and a mad genius for his work on the Microsoft case. Perhaps his most famous case was his lead role in Bush v. Gore, the case that effectively decided the 2000 presidential election. Boies faced off against Ted Olson, one of the premier appellate lawyers in the country. Olson has argued 60 cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. From 1981 to 84, Olson served as an assistant attorney general in the Reagan administration and was legal counsel to President Reagan during the Iran-Contra affairs investigation phase. Olson was nominated for the office of Solicitor General by President Bush and took office on June 11, 2001. In July 2004, Olson retired as Solicitor General and returned to private practice in the D.C. office of Gibson Dunn. Both raised in California, Boies and Olson were dismayed at the 2008 passing of Proposition 8, when California voters adopted a ban on same-sex marriage by amending the state constitution to provide that, quote, only a marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. A group led by Rob Reiner first approached Olson, and it was Olson who brought in Boies to begin the long, arduous battle. Acknowledging the odd couple quality of their collaboration, Olson explains, "We are two lawyers from opposite ends of the political spectrum who have come together to support one of the most important issues of our time. The plaintiffs are Americans. They work hard. They pay their taxes. And they want to get married just like many of the rest of us. Our nation was founded on the principle that all Americans are created equal. This case is about ensuring that every American is treated equally under the law." Together, Olson and Boies triumphed at the Supreme Court. Today, we'll speak with the pair on their new book, Redeeming the Dream, The Case for Marriage Equality. Welcome, David. Welcome, Ted. It's a real honor to have you with us on the Book Report.
It's great to be here.
Regarding the recent June 25th ruling in Denver on Utah's attempt to ban same-sex marriage, do you see yourself heading back to the Supreme Court?
This is Ted speaking. Yes, I think that either that case or the case that David and I have been handling, challenging Virginia's laws, which are similar to the one that was decided just a couple days ago by an appellate court in Colorado with respect to the Utah statute. The Virginia case that David and I argued was argued almost 2 months ago now, and we're expecting a decision any time. One of these cases is going to go to the Supreme Court. Federal judges all over the country have been striking down laws prohibiting marriage between persons of the same sex. And the Supreme Court will soon, I'm sure, decide the issue for the entire nation.
Do you foresee same-sex marriage will ever become a federal law?
I think it is a federal law in the following sense. As the district court held in our case, Perry, California's Proposition 8 was unconstitutional under the federal constitution. And I think that what the courts are holding, and 14 courts have held this just in the last year, and what I think the Supreme Court will hold soon, is that the federal constitution guarantees every individual the right to marry the person they love, regardless of gender and regardless of sexual orientation. So I think you will find implementation of the United States Constitution through these judicial decisions.
I see. Well, of course, we're here to speak about your new book, Redeeming the Dream. Can you talk about your collaboration on the book? What was the writing process like?
The writing process was interesting. It's not easy to, if you're writing a book all by yourself, you sit down and you work on it and work on it and work on it and you express your own voice. We wanted to express our joint journey, our collaboration, how we work together, how we develop strategy, the wonderful relationship that we developed with the plaintiffs in our case, Chris and Sandy and Paul and Jeff, and how we thought about it and how we learned throughout the process, and how we coordinated our legal strategy with our communications to the public to attempt to influence public opinion in support of our clients. And because we're writing with two different voices, we had to bring those voices together. And we enjoyed the process. It was a learning experience for both of us.
You know, I'm a political science major, and I learned so much reading the book. For example, you wrote that President Eisenhower had issued an executive order prohibiting the federal government from employing any homosexual person in any capacity. I was shocked when I read that. When was that overturned?
That was actually not overturned until the late 1970s. In the early 1970s, and that seems to me, it probably doesn't seem quite so recent to you, but it seems to me quite recent. In the early 1970s, the Civil Service Commission was asked to change the policy, and they refused. So you had this brutal kind of discrimination. You couldn't be employed. Bars could lose their license if they served people who were gay or lesbian. There were criminal laws on the books until just 11 years ago. There were laws on the books of 16 states that were enforced that criminalized homosexual conduct. So the brutal discrimination that people faced is something of very recent history.
Yeah. David, you called the fight against Proposition 8 the defining civil rights issue of our generation. Do you want to expound on that?
Sure. When I was in my 20s, I was working in Mississippi on what I believe to be the defining civil rights issue of that era, which was the fight for racial justice. And that battle is still going on. We still have a long way to go to eliminate the vestiges of racial discrimination and gender discrimination in this country. But it is only in the area of sexual orientation that the government itself still discriminates against its own citizens in a significant way. The government says these citizens, or many state governments still say, these citizens are not equal. These citizens are second class. They cannot access the fundamental right to marry the person that they love. And fortunately, today, more than 43% of Americans live in states that do have marriage equality. Things have moved extremely rapidly over the last 5 years. And many more states are poised on the edge of that because courts have held that marriage equality is compelled by the Constitution, but that's on hold pending appeal. So I'm hopeful that this last vestige of governmental discrimination against citizens can be eliminated, and we can then begin to recognize that every citizen in this country has certain basic civil rights that nobody can take away from them.
We're speaking with David Boies and Ted Olson on the Book Report. Ted, on a more lighthearted note, how did you interpret Rush Limbaugh's question, "What happened to Ted Olson? He used to be one of us. Who's us, and were you ever one of them?"
Well, it's kind of interesting. And I think there's been an education process. I'm not so sure about Rush Limbaugh. But conservatives were surprised that I became involved in this case for marriage equality, at least at the outset, and I've had some pushback and some criticism and that sort of thing, and that's you're referring to a comment that he made on the air that is in the movie, The Case Against 8, with Case Against 8, Proposition 8, which was produced by HBO, which is an absolutely fantastic movie. It's very inspirational and very stirring. But the fact is that many conservatives at least thought at the beginning that marriage should always remain between a man and a woman, and that's that. I tried to explain to as many conservatives as possible that marriage is a conservative value. Loving people, coming together to form an enduring union, to become a part of our community, to become a part of our society, to be equal in the eyes of people's neighbors and fellow workers and things like that. That's a pretty conservative value. We all ought, as conservatives, to be supportive of that. So I look at this as an opportunity for David and I to reach out to people and explain to them that this isn't something that should be conceived of or perceived of as conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, but it's an American value that we all ought to support and endorse. And I think that public opinion is changing. I don't know if we'll ever win over everyone, but we're trying.
Yes, and the book, and I actually saw the movie last night on HBO, and it was so impactful. In reading about your work on the case, you stated that in a case of this magnitude, patience is key. How long did it actually take to reach the Supreme Court?
Well, it took about 4 years from the time that we brought the case until the court decided it. We brought the case in May of 2009, and the court decided it, the Supreme Court finally decided it, in June of 2013. And before we brought the case, there was months of preparation of the case so that we could be sure that when we brought the case, we were well in a position to really pursue the case and pursue the case rapidly. We were fortunate in having a trial judge, Judge Walker, who really pushed the case and gave us a trial date in January of 2010, and we tried the case, won the case at the trial level, won the case on appeal in the Federal Court of Appeal, and then the Supreme Court dismissed the appeal of the proponents. So it was a long fight in a sense, that 4 years is a long time, but we accomplished an enormous amount in that period of time.
Yes. The American Foundation for Equal Rights, what battles is it taking on now?
The American Foundation for Equal Rights was created at the beginning of our collaboration to challenge Proposition 8 as a nonprofit foundation that would support and encourage others to support the effort to bring back marriage equality to California and change the laws of other states. At the present, the American Foundation for Equal Rights is helping us challenge comparable laws in Virginia that prevent gay and lesbian citizens from the opportunity to marry the person that they love. We have, David and I, presented that case to a federal court in Norfolk, Virginia in February. We won that case. We argued the case in the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit in the early part of May, and we're expecting a decision sometime soon. That is a case that could go on to the United States Supreme Court, although there are other cases being brought by the American Civil Liberties Union and other groups in other states. Who knows exactly which case will or which cases will wind up in the United States Supreme Court, but all of them seem to be headed that way, and almost every judge who's looked at this issue in the last year has agreed that marriage equality is a fundamental right that cannot be denied to gay and lesbian citizens.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for a wonderful book and this incredible opportunity to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've really enjoyed it.
Bye.